Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today that you saved us and that you saved us with a purpose. We thank you, God, that you will take care of us, that you will keep us. Now, Lord, I ask you this morning, in the name of Jesus, that you'll help me preach your message. God, take from me, my mind, any thoughts that shouldn't be given, from my lips, any words that shouldn't be spoken. Let me speak your word. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to this congregation, to this church today. As we open your word, we need you. God, you know I can't do it without you. There's no way I can preach this message without your help. God, speak to this congregation. Speak your word. God, let us hear your voice, not the voice of a man, not the voice of a person, but let us hear from heaven. Speak to us. And God, we will give you the praise. Let something happen today that will count for eternity. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I would like you this morning to turn to me, with me, to Luke's Gospel and the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And I want to read to you a few verses out of that 19th chapter, starting at verse 41. Now he, Jesus, drew near, that's to the city of Jerusalem. He saw the city and he wept over it. As he came to the city, he began to weep. And he said this, if you had known, if you had only known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. If you had only known what makes for your peace, but is hidden from you, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and will level you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you didn't know the hour of your visitation. You didn't know it. And he wept. And he wept. And he said, if you only understood the hour in which you're living, if you'd only understood that it's for your peace, but you have not understood it, and now this city is going to be destroyed. He said there won't be a stone left on top of another. Your children will be destroyed, and mothers with babies will be destroyed within them, wiped out. Had you just known. And it was in 40 years later, right after this time, the Holy Spirit came and there was a great revival. And thousands were saved. But then in 70 AD, a little less than 40 years later, about 30 some years later, Titus came in, the Roman government, and the Romans surrounded that city and destroyed 1 million Jews, wiped that city out, scattered the Jews throughout the world, and they've been scattered ever since. That was the beginning. And a few years later, they had another revolt about 60 years later, and it was completely destroyed, the city. And Jews were not permitted in the city. They were not allowed to live in Jerusalem for centuries. And then for all these 2,000 years, the Jews have been scattered all over the world. They didn't know. They didn't recognize their hour. And then in the turn of the century, the Jews began to come back. Theodore Herzl, in the late 1800s, just before 1900, founded Zionism and said, it's time to go back. It's time to go back to Jerusalem. Time to go back to Israel, for the Jews to go back. They had the Zion Congresses every year, every 2 years, and they began to go back, and the Jews began to colonize and go back, and the poets began to write and began to invite the Jews back to Israel and to come back. They began to return, and the colonization started, and the camp started, and the Jews started going back. And then World War I came, and the end of World War I, Jerusalem was taken from the Turks and from the Ottoman Empire, and was delivered over. The British overtook it. General Allenby prayed and walked into the city of Jerusalem, and wouldn't walk with his shoes on, walked barefoot in as the city fell, and it came back. And at that time, they had the Balfour Declaration that declared that it should be a homeland for the Jews. Now, the British didn't keep it, but that was a beginning. And it opened the door, and they began to go back. And they began to colonize and began to return. And the Jews were going back in sizable numbers. And then World War II came. 39, Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany. And the Jews in Germany didn't recognize that he had written in his famous book, Mein Kampf, that he had written in it that he hated the Jews, he'd destroy them. And they never took it to heart. They didn't recognize it again, their time. And the Jews, some went back, but they didn't take it serious. And he began to close, one in Europe, all but England, Europe fell to the Nazis. And just this past week, Benjamin Netanyahu spoke at a joint session of our Congress. And while he was speaking, he said so strongly, and never again will it happen what happened in Europe when the Jews were wiped out of Europe. 6,200,000 Jews were killed. And he said, never again, wiped them out. Now, I was crying when I heard it. I was weeping. I cried. I couldn't help it. Congress stood up 26 times as he spoke, because I realize that that's not true. It's not over. The Middle East is shaking. It's an awesome hour. And we are right at the heart of it. Now, we are right in New York City, and America has the largest Jewish population in the world. There are 5 million Jews in America. There were used to be 6 million, that's reduced now to 5 million. Some have left, some have gone back. Europe had 6 million, a little over 6 million. It was unbelievable what happened. Folks, you must not forget, because this is important to know what happened. The church didn't recognize it. The Christians didn't recognize their hour. The Jews didn't recognize it. But Hitler decided to wipe out, to kill every Jew of Europe, kill every one of them. My friend of mine, who was a colonel in charge of our camp in Germany, in charge of one of the great operations there, took me by in Berlin and showed me, said, that's the building. And that's the building where, and he gave me the date, I forget now the date, when Hitler decided, and they decided the final solution of the Jews, the final solution, kill every Jew in the world. Kill every one of them. And they killed 6 million. I remember Goldie Meir speaking just after the State of Israel was formed, speaking here at the United Nations and saying how in Poland there was 2.5 million Jews in 1939. In 1945, 6 years later, there was 50,000. 2.5 million Jews were killed in the gas chambers of Europe, of Poland. I went to visit Auschwitz. I went to see the worst of the camps. And in Poland, I was there where more than 1 million were killed in that one camp. The pictures you've all seen. It was unbelievable to think women and children gathered up, doctors, lawyers, wealthy people, all kinds of poor ones, every Jew was gathered into these freight cars. Now, Auschwitz is a place where all the trains meet in Poland. It's a tremendous center. And all of these Jewish people were brought there, herded up, put in boxcars, just like cattle. Civilized, educated, refined. It had been 1,000 years. One great writer wrote, it was 1,000 years history of our existence at the top in Europe. Wiped out in those 3 years from 41 to 45. Wiped out. I stood and walked all day through that camp. And then when I got to the room where they gassed them, they played music while they marched them into the building where the gas chambers were. It was a separate building. They marched them into playing great music, marched them in. Said, you're going to have a bath. Made them take their clothes off, men, women, children, undress, and marched them into this room. It was a large room about this size here. And at the top of the room, there's a door, a window. Poured the gas in, certain gas. I remember reading the story of the company in Germany that discovered this gas and told Hitler about it. So they had this gas that would kill them so quickly. Poured this gas on them, and breathing, gasping for air, they'd always come up into a mound. There were naked people, hundreds of Jews at a time, being like 100 or so in that room at a time, and just piling, dying. Then they were put on these conveyors and carried into the ovens and burned. The ashes were sprung all out around the place. 6 million died this way. Like every Jew in America wouldn't be enough. And we think it like it's nothing, like it didn't happen. And God knows it. Now, we're in the city with the largest Jewish population, one of the greatest Jewish populations in the world is New York City. We're here. And America isn't going to always feel like it feels toward them. The Middle East is shaking. The world is turning. I'm saying that to say that the climax of the hour is here. We're at a climactic hour in history. The church, God is getting us ready. There's three great groups of people, the church, the Jews, and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to be destroyed in the book of Revelation, a third of them. A third of the Jews were killed. There were 18 million Jews living in 1939. In 1945, there were 12 million. It was reduced by one-third of all the Jews of the world were wiped out. God's chosen people. This is an awesome hour, and America has them. New York has them. This is a strategic moment in time. We need to know the time that we're living in. I can't tell you. I can't. I wish I could. It's an awesome hour. The Middle East is shaking, and it isn't going to work in the advantage of the Jews. It isn't going to turn out for them. When this church was founded, God said, David Wilkerson, he said, be kind and have a ministry in Israel. Take care of the Jews and have communion every week. Two great truths. But tonight, we're in this city where the great Jewish population, one of the great Jewish centers of the world, we need to pray for them. We need to understand. We need to have a vision to reach them. They're here by us. We have an opportunity. I can't tell you. But I wish I could preach it the way it ought to be preached. I wish I could. But God can tell you, this is an incredible hour. Now we're at the end. Jesus spoke when the separation began and the scattering began 2,000 years ago. Today, we're at the end when they're coming back. They're coming back one way or another. They're coming back. And we've got them here. Let's pray for them. He said the gospel to the Jew first. Let's pray for them, but not just to the Jews. We've got in New York City people from all nations of the world. When we're at a strategic moment in time, something awesome is going to happen to this city. The founding pastor told us, but we have some time. We have time. We need to understand the hour. Then we need to pray. What should we do? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. We need to weep over New York. We need to weep over this city. We need to pray with passion. We need to pray with passion, with heart, to realize at the strategic moment in time, God planted us here. God planted you here. He brought us into being and miraculously brought this place at Times Square. Let it be God. Let this be a place where the heart of Jesus is felt, where the prayers are prayed with passion for your people, and that we pray for the Jews, not just for the Jews, for everybody, but we start with them because the book says for the Jew first, because this book came from the Jews. They gave us this book. They gave us Jesus, and we need to pray for them and ask God to give us passion to see them saved. They're not too hard for God. Don't feel that, because there's always a remnant that we've got to reach in this city. Many aren't going to listen. They're going back. But I want to tell you, there's a remnant that are going to listen. Some years ago, we had a lady in our church in Brooklyn, Sister Katz. She's about 30-something, had several children, and I went to visit her. Her husband was unsaved, a big man. And I was just new in this city. We had a little mission, and she attended our mission. And Mr. Katz said to me, "You from that church where my wife goes?" He went in one time and physically took her out. And he said to me, "You get out of this house, I'll throw you down this stairs." It was a four stairs. Boy, and I had just come to the city, and I never had anybody talk to me that way. He said, "Get out of this room, I'm going to throw you down those stairs. You're from the church, I'll break every bone in your body." And I got out. But that's not the end of the story. I prayed. Sister Katz prayed. I live to see Mr. Katz walk down that aisle and fall on his face and say, "Jesus, save me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I live to see him come. Thank you, Jesus." I live to see Katz saved. I preached his funeral. His people were all there and heard the gospel. His brothers and all. So attentive and so complimentary to me. So different and so listening to what I had to say. They saw the change in that man. I'm telling you, folks, we've got a mighty gospel. We've got it. This is our moment. Don't take it light. Pray and seek God, not just for them, but for the nations that he's brought here to this city. We need revival in New York. The church is praying, but we got to pray with passion. We've got to fill the prayer meetings. Pray in your home. This is New York's hour. This is God's moment. Let's rise and seize the moment for God. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that God saved you. You could have been born at any time. You could have been brought at any time. He trusted you. He brought us here for this climactic hour in history. We need a revival in New York City. We need a revival in our schools. I'm crushed when I hear what our kids go through in high school and in junior high and in our schools. The making fun in the universities of God. How if you're a Christian and you speak of God, they call you an idiot, and how they hate God. But we are a match for them, because with God's help, we can see revival in our schools and believe God to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. We need to see God. We need to pray, and we need to believe God to help our children. We need to reach the people, the Jewish people, and every other nation. We need to reach them at the bottom. We need to reach them in the projects and the children in the hard areas and the difficult. There's some difficult areas in this city, some real difficult areas that we shouldn't shut our eyes to them. I began by sending our bus out and picking up children and going to the projects and get the children. And we need to get the children and get the seniors and get everybody. We need a revival that goes from the top to the bottom, that reaches everybody in between. And God wants to use you and you and you and you and you. And He wants you to work. Jesus said in the 9th chapter of John's gospel, He said when He prayed for the man that was born blind, He said, "I must work. I must work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work." Night's coming to New York City. This is our day. This is our moment. And we've got to pray and we've got to work. Got to believe God. There's something you can do. You have a phone, use it for God. You got a car, use it for God. You got feet, use them for God. You got a mouth, use it for God. Let God take over in your life, and let's go for God in this hour. Let God touch you and go reach the people. Pray that this revival will touch not only but all the nations that are represented. He's brought them here, and He's brought us here, and He's put us here. Let's not take it light. We're at the close. Jesus was at the opening. We're watching the close. Let's rise to the challenge of this hour and believe God. There's nothing God can't do. There's lots more of you that could go on mission trips. "Well, I don't have the money." Yes, you've got the money. Because if you believe God, He'll give you the money. He'll make a way for you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can go for God. I was living in the cellar. It's a little basement apartment, and I needed a car. I had a few dollars. It had been given to me by my father-in-law. A car, we had a few dollars together, and I needed a car. And I was, because I wanted to go pick up the children. I said, "We can't wait for folks to come. We gotta go get them. Go get the children." I knew of a family that their folks came from the other side, and they had no way to go to church, and they were too young to, and they couldn't take the subway. These children couldn't go by themselves, and we would go get them. So I'm praying for a car to go get people. Listen, when you got a vision for God, there's nothing He won't do for you. We're talking about God Almighty. We're talking about a God that created the universe. He can't make a way for you. That's nonsense. God can make a way for anybody that's got a heart to go for God. He can do it. I prayed every day for a used car. Didn't have faith for a new car. Prayed for a used car. Every day, prayed the same thing. Every day, "God, give me a good car. Let it be in good shape because I can't afford to get it fixed. Let it look good because I really just don't want to drive something that looks terrible. And give me a bargain and let me get it at a good price because you know how much money I have." I'm praying this, and this is truth. This is what I'm praying every day. And one day, God said to me, "Listen, you're asking for a car? I'll give you a new car. You want to go get children for me? I'll give you a new car. I've got every car in the world." I'll give you a new car. And a few days later, a man came and he was talking to me. And all of a sudden, he said, you need a new car. I said, amen. Amen, I need a new car. He said, I'm the man to give it to you. I'm giving you a new car. Go down. I'm getting a new car. Instead of my getting it, I'm giving it to you. And he made the payments on a new car. He gave me a new car every 2 years for about 12 years, 10 years. A new car every 2 years. Praise God. Every new. God! When you want to do it for God, you want to go for God, you want to do something for God, He can do it. Believe God when you pray. Let's believe Him. This is our hour. Rise up and go for God. Speak. Let God open the door for you. Let's take this city and see a revival in New York City for God. Come on, let's believe God. He brought you here. You're not too young. You're not too old. God wants to touch you with power and with an anointing. He's got a job. We want to see revival in our schools. We want to see it touch the most needy areas of this city. Let's see it reach the tops. Let's see it reach City Hall. Let's pray for City Hall. Let's pray for the Jewish people. Let's pray for all the nations. Let's pray for the projects. Let's pray for the areas where they really were. Drugs seem to be the strongest. God can invade the drug areas and deliver the drug addicts. Let's believe God. It's our hour. Pray with passion. Pray with heart. Pray with tears. Work. This is our moment. Let's not fail. Don't get caught up with the things that don't matter. Everything passes away. One life will soon be spent. Only what's done for Christ will last. God wants His church to overflow. Let's reach out and believe God. And let's commit ourselves this morning and ask Him for understanding that we might understand the hour in which we're living. Earth's most challenging hour, and He's raised you up for it. Let's have a prayer meeting as we close this meeting. Pastor, lead us in prayer. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Folks, I'm stirred. I've been stirred for a long time now, and I just know the Holy Spirit is trying to get us detoxed from this world, the things of this world, the things that are entrapping us, the things that are hindering us. And we're going to stand in a moment and pray. But as we do, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to some folks here. There are some things that are hindering you from going forward with God. God's been speaking to you for some time now about these things. And this is the hour to lay those things down. This is the hour of our visitation, the hour to live for God, to stand for God. Amen. This is the hour where the grace of God is available to take you out of those places of darkness, of bondage, those places that are hindering you, that are destroying you, that are sapping the very spiritual life out of your spiritual veins. And I want to invite you to get out of your seat and come to this altar and join with us as we lift our voices to God and yield ourselves to Him that He might be glorified. The Bible says, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I cannot get away from that verse. The harvest is plentiful. He said, you say, the harvest is coming. You say this. He said, but I say unto you, the fields are already white unto harvest. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. Who are those laborers? Folks, it's you and me. It's all of us. Some of us are going to labor in prayer. Some of us are going to labor in the fields. Some of us are just in labors of love. We're going to begin to reach out to our neighbors, to those round about us. We're going to begin to help folks that are suffering round about us. But God is calling each of us into the fields. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. All over this house, in the annex, you can go between the screens. Here in the sanctuary, in the balcony, step out of your seat, go to either aisle, any of the aisles, the exits, come down, join us here. But if you today say, Pastor, I know God has been speaking to me, he's stirring me, he's calling me, and you need to yield some things to him, would you believe him today to remove those hindrances, those stumbling blocks? There's freedom today, folks, in this house. There's an anointing in this house today. There's an anointing in this house today. Hallelujah. There are others, you've been asking God to use you. Well, here's the hour. Here's the time. This is your invitation. Just say yes to Jesus. Just come and say yes to him. And he'll begin to show you step by step what to do next. And don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise any little thing that he asks you to do. Because when you're faithful in little, he makes you rule over much. He gives you even more. He'll show you the next step and the next step and the next step. Now, Father, we lift our voices all over this house to you. Lord, we lift our hearts to you today. We each open our mouths and we cry out to you asking, would you use us? Would you use us for your glory? God, would you take out all the stops? Lord, you know everything that's hindering us. Would you make us a people of prayer, a people of love? Would you baptize us with a spirit of love, your heart of love for this generation, your heart of love for our neighbors, your heart of love for our coworkers, your heart of love for the school children that we see daily in our commutes? God, would you baptize us with your love, with your heart for the lost? Would you stir us to our core? Would you give us your burden? Give us the privilege of sharing your burden. Give us the privilege of sharing your heart. Give us the privilege of walking in the Spirit and being led by you, Lord, to reach out to those round about us. God, pour out your Spirit on us today. We know it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that still sets the captives free. Let a fresh touch come upon each of our lives. A fresh touch to pray. A fresh touch to seek you. A fresh touch to inquire of the Lord once again before we go out to battle. Lord, that we might walk in the victory that is ours in Christ. Let faith arise in our hearts. Let the mountains of unbelief melt like wax this day in the house of the Lord. We come against every lie of hell. We come against every stronghold of the devil. We come against every power of darkness. Lord, there is nothing too difficult for our God. We stand today between the living and the dead. We say that our God reigns, that our God is alive, that there is nothing, Lord, that you won't do. We yield ourselves to you, God. We say yes to you, Lord. Folks, begin to speak to him. Begin to talk to him. You know what he's saying to you. Hallelujah. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Hallelujah. 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 If there are things you need to yield to him, yield those things to him.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We lift up our eyes, oh God. Jesus, we see the harvest. Lord, we lift up our eyes to you because we know that without you, dear God, we can't do anything. God, we yield our hearts to you in weakness, knowing that your strength is all we need. We yield our hearts, dear God, all of our foolishness, all of our pride, all of our indifference, oh God. We yield it to you, oh God, knowing that you can change us, knowing that you can melt our hearts, knowing that you can give us the compassion and the passion we need for this harvest. Oh God, we give ourselves to you so that you can use us, oh God. Use us in our neighborhoods. Use us in the workplace. Use us on the streets of New York. Use us, oh God, for the glory of Jesus Christ, who plucked us out of darkness into marvelous light. Oh God, we give ourselves to you.
We give ourselves to you as best as we know how, oh God. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come and speak to our hearts, oh God. Cause us to step out of the boat, oh God, like you did with Peter. You just said, come, it is I. And he stepped out of the boat and walked upon waters of impossibility. God, give us the grace to walk upon these waters. Give us the grace to walk unto you, oh God. Give us your heart. Melt us and break us, oh God. Break us away from the spirit of this age, from the spirit of everything that hinders us from representing you, from glorifying your name on this earth, from glorifying you in this generation. God, the children need the standard of God. Father, our neighbors need a standard. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see the love of God in us. They need to see the compassion of our Christ in us. Give us the grace, oh God. Give us the grace. We look to you this hour. You are our strength. You are the hope of glory. God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that no weapon formed against the church of Jesus Christ will prosper, that no lie from hell is going to keep your testimony from marching forward in this generation. You will make us into what we're called to be. You will cause us to walk the way we're called to walk. You will cause us to shine in this generation, in this dark hour. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise because it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, the Lord of glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus, we love you so much. Jesus, we recognize that we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need your compassion, oh God. We need your love to know, to understand your love, oh God. Only if we know your love, if we understand that, we can express it to others, Lord. Please, Lord, baptize us with your love, oh God, one more time, with your compassion, oh God. That compassion, oh God, that causes us to do something, not to say, poor person, oh, go your way, brother, but just to move us to do something, oh God. That is true compassion, oh God. Compassion in action, Lord, not only in word, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We cannot do it, oh God. Forgive us, oh Lord, for the times that we have passed by so many people, oh God, because we were too busy, Lord, with our own situations, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like that Samaritan, oh God, that took time, oh God, to stop, oh God, and to take care of a wounded person, oh God. Help us to love, oh God, to do it as unto you, Lord, to do it as unto you, not to be seen of man or to receive reward of man. But you said that if you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me, Lord. We gotta do it as unto you, Lord, not to be seen by man, oh God, not to receive reward, oh God. Help us to reach those that won't be able to repay us, oh God. Please help us to do it unselfishly, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Give us, break our heart for what breaks yours, oh God. Only that's the way to do it, oh God. If we have a broken heart before you, oh God, this is the hour, oh God. This is the hour, oh God. Make us sensitive, oh God. Make us sensitive to know the need, oh God. Lead us where the needs are, oh God, and help us to meet it, oh God, according to your will, oh God, and you will provide everything that we need, oh God. Thank you that you're all we need. You're all we need, Jesus, and we go in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. We thank you that New York City is not too big for you. It's not too difficult for you. God, you are bigger and greater, and you're able to give us a revival in New York City like it's never seen before. We thank you for it. We thank you, God. Put faith in us as we cry out to you and believe you. God, bring to pass your plan for this great city. Shake this city. Shake your people. And bring us into the place that you want us to be. And we covenant to give you the praise because you are equal to this city. Hallelujah. 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 It's glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now be with us, God. Let the fire fall. Shake this city. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.